Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Worldly Wisdom is Foolishness, which is taken from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, where he writes, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And the answer is yes. The wisdom of this world is foolishness, and yet how much of the church today is afraid to contradict the wisdom of this world, such as evolution, the Big Bang Theory, global warming? All of this is man's wisdom and its foolishness. We need God's wisdom, and we must be willing to look foolish in man's eyes in order to stand for the truth of God's Word. I hope that you enjoy this message.
We'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you. We're so thankful for Jesus and for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you've given to us. Heavenly Father, this evening as we study your word, we ask that the Holy Ghost give us revelation, understanding of the scriptures, understanding of the hidden mysteries of your word, and we thank you for it. We believe that we receive it in Jesus' name. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for the word that we're going to receive this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So this evening, what we want to talk about are the two different kinds of wisdom that exist today. There's wisdom that you have from this world system, and there's wisdom that comes from God and God alone. And you have to understand that the wisdom that is of this world system, it is rational. It's what everyone seems to follow after. They believe that, you know, whatever the common consensus is among the people, that must be the right thing, and that's the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom that we as believers are supposed to follow after is not the wisdom of this world. It's foolishness. This world system and everything in it is foolishness, and we are supposed to follow the wisdom that comes from above. And the interesting thing about it is that the wisdom that we're to operate in, the world thinks is foolishness. And even the fact that the gospel itself and the preaching of the gospel, which is wisdom, the world looks at that as foolishness. So we want to look at these two because God expects us to operate in his wisdom. And what I believe a lot of believers, a lot of people attempting to follow the Lord, the trap they fall into is that they may start out with an understanding of following the wisdom of God, but somewhere along the way they begin to fall in the trap of trying to follow this world's wisdom and looking for a general consensus of people to tell them whether what they're doing is right or wrong. That'll get you into trouble. It'll get you into trouble every time when you go looking for help from the world system, particularly when you strike out to follow God and you're following him, and the next thing you know, you're looking to the world's wisdom to answer whatever problem you find yourself in. That's just not going to work. And on the other side of that coin is whenever you're in whatever problem that you find yourself in, let's say for example you're in front of a multitude of hungry people and all you have is a few barley loaves and a few small fish. You know, if you listen to the world system, which is you know what the disciples tried to offer up to Jesus, they say, well, we've got this much money, we'll run into town and we'll buy as much food as that'll provide. Well, you know, when you're looking at thousands of people and your money supply will only feed maybe 100, you know, something else has got to happen. And You see, in that example, you can tell where the disciples' mentality was. They were thinking with the wisdom of the world, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus was thinking with the wisdom that comes from above, and he think about what he did. He's wanting to have them ask the little boy for his little lunch. Go ahead and get that lunch from that little boy right there. You're going to have trouble with most people. Who are you trying to take that poor little boy's lunch? Right there, you got problems. And then he takes this and then he divvies this out. He hands this out to the disciples, who in turn turn around and begin to actually manifest the miracle, because they're the ones that distribute this food, and it feeds a multitude. But it wasn't based on the wisdom that comes from this world. It was based on wisdom from another world. The wisdom that comes out of a reborn human spirit. One that thinks not with the constraints that this world has, not with the limitations of this world. We have to, at some point in our Christian walk, make the determination that we're not going to be limited to the limitations of this world. That we're going to think beyond this world. That we're going to think with the thoughts that originate from another world. The thoughts that originate from heaven. That we're going to operate according to His way of thinking, and not the thinking and limitations of this world. Because if we never make that change, if we're only going to think with the thoughts that are generated out of this natural world, then we're never going to be able to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. Because what He has for each and every one of us, whoever you are, what He has for you is greater than what your natural mind can comprehend. It has to come out of your reborn human spirit. And you might say, well, how do I think those thoughts, Mark? Well, it begins by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. As you renew your mind with God's thoughts, the thoughts that originated from another world, that are recorded in right here in this Word of God, we have 66 books of the thoughts and the wisdom of God. So as we take these words and feed them into our spirit man, and we empower the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly through praying in other tongues, we're going to empower Him to unlock these mysteries that are right here in within these words. This black ink on white paper holds mysteries, holds the wisdom of God that will, as we read it and pray in tongues and empower the Holy Ghost to unlock these mysteries to us, we're going to begin to think the thoughts of God. Think like He thinks. And in doing this, you'll begin to think about how we feed a multitude, for example, and how these small barley loaves and these few fish can be multiplied to feed this multitude. Amen? Or how we can sail across the Sea of Galilee and a storm comes up, and how we can speak to the winds and the waves, and we can command them to be still, and they're still. See, that's not a thought that originated out of a natural mind. A natural mind says, we're in trouble. We're in the middle of the sea, and there's a raging storm, you know, batten down the hatches. We're in trouble. You know, that's what the natural mind says. Get the life preservers, Peter. I don't think we're going to make it. See, that's the thinking of this natural world. But the thinking of another world, the thinking that originates out of the mind of God, is standing and speaking to the winds to be calm, and the waves to be calm. See, that's what happens when we renew our mind and we begin to allow the thoughts to come out of our reborn human spirit that don't originate in this natural world. You see, the thoughts of this natural world are 2 + 2 = 4 every time. That's the way it is. No, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. 2 + 2 = 4. And that's, you can never have anything different than that. There's limitations. It's that way. And yet, when you look at the arithmetic of God, the arithmetic of God is a few barley loaves and a few fish feed a multitude. You know, that's not 2 + 2 = 4. That's God's arithmetic. That's God's way of thinking. And He expects His children to think the way He thinks. Not to think according to the limitations of this world. And we're so bombarded on every side with, you know, the thoughts of this world, thinking that is limited to this natural world. It's cold and flu season, everyone. Hey, it's cold and flu season. You better get prepared because it's coming and you're going to get it. That's the mentality of this world. That's the thinking of this world. The thinking that comes from another world is, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I don't have to put up with sickness or disease. Mark 11:23-24, I speak to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And I shall not doubt in my heart, but I shall believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I shall have whatsoever I say. Those are thoughts that do not originate in this natural world. Those are thoughts that originated in the mind of God, and we are to think this way. We are to allow these thoughts to come out of our reborn human spirit. When we are faced with a mountain, when we're faced with cold and flu symptoms trying to invade our body, instead of, you know, well, I better just wrap up and go lay down and I better get some chicken noodle soup and get prepared. It's coming. I can feel the symptoms. I'm going to have it. Instead of being that way about it, you know, speak to those symptoms. Get out of my body. You have no right here in the name of Jesus. According to Mark 11:23, I'm speaking to you, mountain of symptoms. Get out of my body. I cast you into the sea. I have no doubt in my heart. I believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I shall have whatsoever I say. Well, Mark, what in the wide world good is speaking to those symptoms going to do? Well, according to the Word of God, those symptoms have to obey me. Well, what if they don't? Then the problem isn't with the word. The problem is with the believing on your part, and you simply need to continue to speak the word of God. Keep saying it. Don't turn loose of it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking to the mountain. Keep using the wisdom from another world, using the wisdom of your Heavenly Father. And don't succumb to the pressure. See, this world, I'm telling you, it's just packed with pressure on every side, trying to get you to conform to it. And we're not to conform to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't conform to it. Don't allow yourself to be conformed to it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Continue to renew your mind with God's word. And as you do that, you are going to think the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. That's how you go from the brainwashing that you get on the nightly news. The brainwashing. Yeah, your brain's washed with it. And you think the thoughts that, oh my goodness, this world is just going to pieces. It's just, you know, on every side we got this happening and that, oh my goodness, and you worry and you fret. None of that is productive. None of that's going to help you. And it's not going to change anything. What will change the world that you live in, the world around you, is thinking the thoughts of God and speaking out of your mouth His word, His wisdom. Thinking the way He thinks. The wisdom that doesn't originate from this world. Hallelujah. We want to look at just a few verses in line with what I've been talking about here, the wisdom that originates from another world. And we want to look, first of all, in the book of James. James was one that wrote quite a bit about wisdom. We're going to look at the third chapter of James. And if you have your Bible and you can turn there with me, we're going to begin looking at the 13th verse. He begins here by asking this question, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter," look at these words right here. This is almost like he's giving you these clues in verse 14. You know, if you see these things present that we're about to mention, you know, this is not the wisdom that originates from God. He says, "If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," see, he's telling us, "this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." And that word, sensual, mine says in my margin, calls it natural. And I looked that up, and it also is referring to the soulish wisdom that comes out of your soul. And that word devilish is demonic. I mean, that's pretty clear right there what that is. So let's go back and look at it again. Where there's bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Bitter envying and strife in your hearts. I'll tell you what, when you see that right there, you better know that wherever that's coming, whoever that's coming out of, that person is manifesting wisdom that is not godly wisdom. Where you see envying and strife, that's not godly wisdom. If you're taking counsel from a person, and that person, is causing all kinds of strife, and they're speaking words that are envious of another person, that so-called, quote-unquote, wisdom isn't the wisdom that you want to hear. It's not the wisdom from God. God doesn't have enviousness and strife. That's the wisdom of this world, and it's devilish, it's sensual, it's demonic. You don't want any of that. But the wisdom, now here's the wisdom that we want. This is when a person has done Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when they have gone through and continue going through the transformation of their mind, when they're doing this. All right, then the wisdom that they're going to be living in is described here in verse 17. This, the wisdom that is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, easy to be entreated. And I looked up that word, easy to be entreated. Let me get that for you here. Ready to obey. full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. How about that? Without hypocrisy, without partiality. You know, there's a lot of people that would like you to believe that they're someone that they're not. You know, I looked up the word hypocrisy before, and it's talking about someone that is playing the part of an actor. So they want you to believe, particularly ones that are quote-unquote real spiritual people. Those are the ones that will hurt you the most. You got to watch those folks that they want to present to you how spiritual they are, okay? Just be careful. Just know that whenever someone has to tell you how spiritual they are, there's something wrong with that. You know, you should be able to see through this example here, a person that's filled with godly wisdom, here's what they should look like. They should be peaceable and gentle people, easy to be entreated. They're very easy to obey, full of mercy, not critical, judgmental people, but full of mercy, because our Father, He's full of mercy. This is the way He is. So doesn't it make sense that if our Father is full of mercy and gentle, that someone who's operating in the wisdom that originated from our Father, that they too would be merciful, that they also would be gentle, easy to be entreated. Hallelujah. Yes, that's how we should be. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We shouldn't be trying to present ourselves as something that we're not. You know, I'm not trying to present myself as some super spiritual person. You know, this is what God has called me to do. I teach because of Him, not because of anything that I decided on my own. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to fulfill what He's called us to, not because of our own brilliance or anything about ourselves. It's Him. He's the one that empowers us. It's His wisdom that I trust to come through my mouth, not my own, but His. Why is that, Mark? Because I'm going to His Word. I'm going to the Word of God. I'm speaking His word, and after the Holy Ghost has had an opportunity to reveal the truth of His word to me, I am able to speak it out, speak that truth out, and it's full of God's wisdom, and you're able to receive it, and you're able to do something with it. Glory to God. So this is what James is telling us here. He's telling us about the two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that originated in this natural world, and that one is described as bitter envying and strife. And the wisdom that that wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It's the way the devil is. Man. The wisdom that comes from above is quite different than that. God's wisdom. God's wisdom is love those that curse you. Do good to them that, what? Despitefully use you. No, I don't want to do that. I want to do good to those that do good to me. Well, what thanks is there in that? The wisdom that comes from above says, do good to them that despitefully use you. But that's no fun. That's hard on our flesh. But see, the wisdom that comes from above says, this is how we're going to win that person into the kingdom. See, if we're only doing good to the people that do good to us, then, you know, Are we going to ever be a witness to the lost people, to the ones that aren't nice back, the ones that they are devilish? How are we ever going to reach them? It's by extending love to them when they're unlovely to us. That's the wisdom that originates outside of this natural world. And that's the kind of wisdom that God wants us to think with. Mark, do you think that way all the time? Oh, I wish I did. But I have to admit, I'm just as human as everybody else. And I struggle with this just like everybody else does. And I'm not sitting here trying to present myself as someone that has it all figured out, and I have, and I'm doing all of these things. That would be hypocrisy. But I'm someone that I see the land, and I'm heading for more of that land to take more possession of it in my own life. But I've got the same struggles that you do. But this is what God expects out of us. And someone has to be the one that says what God expects of us. And I just happen to be the person that God's chosen here. So that, these are the two wisdoms. Which one are we going to think with? Which one are we going to live by? Which wisdom are we going to allow to come through us? God's wisdom or man's wisdom? Which wisdom are we going to make the decisions, our life decisions, based on? Worldly wisdom or God's wisdom? Amen? Because when it's all said and done, and we stand before Jesus, and we give an account for our life, the rewards that we're going to receive there are going to be based on what? Whether we lived according to the wisdom that originates from this world, or are we going to receive rewards based on the wisdom that doesn't originate from this world that we live by? Which one? Well, I have to think that is going to be the wisdom not originating from this world. That if we live our life, make decisions based on the godly wisdom that we receive through His Word and through by the Holy Spirit revealing to us the truths of His Word, and we live by that, that we're going to receive reward based on that. And that's what I want. I don't want to have my life account for nothing here because I was just, you know, because I just chose not to live according to the wisdom of God. But I was just like everybody else. I just fell in line, fell in the pack mentality, did like everybody else does, lived just the way everybody else lives, make decisions just like everybody else makes. When you get to heaven, well, there's not going to be a reward just because you lived the way everybody else lived, because you lived according to the wisdom of this world. There's no reward for that. And thank God we're going to go to heaven if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But I want more than that. And I believe you do too. You want more than just squeaking through the gates of heaven. just try to slide in the home plate there. You know, and you just live however you want to live here. No, that's not good enough. That's not enough for me. I want more than that, and I trust you do too. So let's look at a few more verses here regarding the two wisdoms, the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Go over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the first and second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he is talking about this wisdom, these two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom of this world and the wisdom that comes from God. We're going to begin here in verse 17. And, you know, I'm not going to give a full explanation of the letter to the church of Corinth, but these people had trouble. They had problems. This is not a church that has everything figured out. This is a church that's got some serious problems. This first letter, Paul is addressing some of the issues that they have. There's division in the body. They're factioning, fracturing the body, and they're doing it based on, you know, I follow this person, I follow that person. You know, they're kind of lining up behind, you know, certain leaders. And, you know, that's not what God wants of us. He does not want his body fractured. He does not want us to create factions in the body. We're all one body, not many bodies, but we're many members in one body. And it seems like even sometimes the leadership of in certain areas get this part confused. It's all the same body. There's not two or three different bodies of Christ. It's just one body of Christ, and there's many members in that body. We need to keep that in mind. And apparently, Church of Corinth had a problem understanding this, and they wanted to divide up. And they wanted to line up behind, one wanted to line up behind Paul, another said Apollos, another said Cephas, another said Christ. So, you know, they were being divisive, dividing up. So Paul's addressing some of these issues here. And then we're going to begin in verse 17 of chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now look at these words. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, what do you think that he's talking about here when he says not with wisdom of words? You know, I've really meditated on thought about this here lately. And, you know, these folks, and anybody, not just these people at the Church of Corinth, but anybody that you know, they want to try and intellectualize the gospel. And the gospel is not to be intellectualized. It's not about being some big thinker about the Word of God, and you're going to win people to Jesus by all of your intellect. You know, that's not what the gospel and sharing the gospel is about. We're not to try and impress people with intellectualizing the scriptures, because see, that's not the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that originates in this natural world, trying to reason out the gospel, trying to intellectualize the gospel. No. You know, if you really think about it, and he's going to say it here in just a few minutes about how the gospel, the real gospel, it's foolishness to man. Let's read up to that point. I think that's going to be in the 21st verse. So we're here in 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. And this thought just came to me. And here is Paul saying this, a man who by all means could have intellectualized the gospel. You know, he had been taught at the feet of Gamaliel as a child growing up. So, and maybe you haven't heard about this before, but this is something that not many people receive. Not many Jewish people receive this kind of training. And it was because he was being groomed to be some of the leadership in the Jewish a church in the synagogue. He was being groomed for this, whether it was a Pharisee or however he said he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. So, but this was his training. He memorized the first five books of the Bible. I mean, think about that. The first five books, the whole books, The guy memorized. That's just like over the top. So, you know, when it comes to someone's mental ability, their natural ability to impress you with their ability to reason through things, this man would have, if he wanted to, he could have just knocked your socks off, so to speak, with his intellect. But he realized that the gospel was not about the intellectual power of a person to, you know, to intellectualize, think of these big thoughts and figure out God. No, that's not the gospel. And he knew that. So here's what he said. Here's what Paul said. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching, look at this, verse 18, of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Them that perish, those that are spiritually dead, that are on their way to hell, those people perishing. The gospel, what does he say? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolishness. What? Think about this. This was something that I thought about this. I meditated on this for a while. What about this is foolish? Well, I mean, think about what we're asking people to believe when you present the message of salvation to somebody. What you're asking them to believe is there was a man who wasn't just a man, but the Son of God and the Son of Man, that was born of a virgin, that lived on this planet for 33 and a half years. And then this man dies. He died on a cross. So he was crucified. And so, I mean, think about someone who is listening to this in the natural. So you want me to follow after this person who was crucified 2,000 years ago. In other words, he died 2,000 plus years ago, and you want me to surrender my life to him? Sure, yeah, I do. And you're telling me that this man who was not just the Son of Man, but the Son of God, that he died for my sins. Of course he did. He died for your sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. He lived a sinless life. And so you're asking me to believe, Mark, that this person that was that lived a sinless life, that was the Son of God and the Son of Man, he was crucified, but then he didn't stay dead? I mean, can you just imagine someone that's spiritually dead listening to this? And what are we asking them to believe? We're asking them to believe the impossible. And it's not something that they can grasp just with their natural mind. They have to accept this by faith. And once they do, then something happens on the inside of them and they're reborn. And once they're reborn, the capacity, follow me now, this is important, the capacity to understand the thoughts of God has come into existence within them because they are born again. They have a reborn human spirit. Now they have the capacity to think the thoughts of God. That's awesome. So we're asking someone initially who hasn't got that ability, honestly, to think the thoughts of God, because they're not born again. They're spiritually dead. They're having to accept something by faith. They're having to accept what this Word of God says, believing. Because why? We're telling them, and it is the power of our testimony. See, I just love how God has done this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, what does this person who's spiritually dead have to go off of? Because I'm telling them this has happened to me. I can give you a testimony that my life was changed when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Jesus, He came into my heart. I was reborn. My sins were washed away. I was forgiven for the sin that was in my life. I was completely forgiven. I became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Come and do this. Come and surrender your life to this Son of Man, Son of God, and be changed. Oh, it sounds like foolishness to the world. Oh, yeah. But it is the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is. And it thrills my heart to even say it out of my mouth, what God has done for us. It thrills me. He's so wonderful. And this is wisdom that didn't originate in this world. It is the wisdom that comes from God and God alone. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 20, or let me go back here. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'm telling you, anybody, now think about this. Because our colleges and universities are chocked full of people that think they're wise. And these are the same people that will sit and tell you there is no God. They're ignorant. They are foolish. You know, it says that someone that says there is no God, he's foolish. These people are fools. And our universities, our colleges are chock full of them. And they are teaching our children this dribble that's just, it's terrible. And what's even worse is that this kind of mentality has crept into the leadership of our churches. And our churches I've heard the statistics of how many people, preachers, pastors in the pulpits of the main church, major churches in our country that believe in evolution of all things. That is, my mind can't even hardly grasp the ignorance of these so-called spiritual leaders in our country that would think that evolution is right. They're just nuts. And that is not the wisdom that originates from our Father. That's the wisdom of this world. And you might think, well, how come these people are spiritual leaders? I don't know. I guess it's because they continue to get a paycheck and people continue to go to their church. And why do you think it is? It's because they're saying things that probably set well with their soulish flesh. And they're not saying anything that will ripple the waters and cause any kind of disturbance. They're just saying things that people want to hear. And so they'll give them money to tell them that they're okay. Well, the sad thing is, if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're sitting in a church week after week, when you die, you're not going to go to heaven. I'm sorry. You got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you're going to a church building and sitting there week after week and the person in front of you is telling you stupid things like evolution is true, then you need to find somewhere else to go because it's not true. And, you know, there... It's because the wisdom that is here in the Word of God, they haven't renewed their mind to it. And whether they're spiritual leaders, whether they're college professors, whoever they are that's presenting themselves as people of wisdom, we're wise people, if they're not speaking from wisdom that originated outside of this natural world, wisdom that came through having their minds renewed with the Word of God, It's not wisdom. It's not the wisdom of God, the true wisdom. It's worldly wisdom. It's sensual. It's devilish. It's demonic. That's what the Word of God says. Well, let's go on here. Verse 19 again. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Look at that. Will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, these are people that society, they applaud these folks. These are the ones that have the, you know, they have their, they have all of the esteem. They have all of the prestige. You know, they have all the letters after their name. People look to them. They're so wise. They're so intelligent. And what does God say? God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And this is, that's not wise as godly wisdom. This is worldly wisdom. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Folks, it's by the foolishness of preaching. It's not by wisdom of this world thinking these big lofty thoughts. It's not about the wisdom that originates in these institutes of higher learning. Get out of here. That's not where the wisdom is that originates from God. The wisdom of God is right here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There it is, right there. The foolishness of preaching, believing that 2,000 years ago, that the Son of Man, Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, and he didn't stay dead. And he died representing all of humanity. He died after living a sinless life. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he did for us. And it's through the foolishness of proclaiming this truth to the lost people that they're saved when they believe these words, when they believe and surrender their life to Jesus. It's that foolishness right there, which isn't foolish at all. It's only foolish to a person who's looking for their salvation through their own intellect. See, that's where it's truly foolish to that person. But we know that this is the power of God. We know that this is the truth. Hallelujah. I want to jump down here. We're still going to be in the chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. See, he's saying that there's not many of you here that are wise after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not. What does that mean, things which are not? Things which are not what he just described. Things that are not prestigious. They're the foolish things. They're not the mighty things. They're the foolish. That's what he's talking about here. And things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But I read that right there because he's not looking to choose the people who are the ones that feel like they've arrived. They feel like we have everything all together. We don't need God. We have it all figured out. Those aren't the people that God is choosing to spread this message, to use in the spreading of the gospel. It's the people that are not the special ones among us. It's the ones that are not the greatest public speakers. I can raise my hand to that. It's the ones that, we're nothing special. These are the people that God uses. He's not looking for your natural ability in order to promote you to service. It's not based on all the things that you can bring to the table as far as whether or not God's going to use you in the spreading of this gospel. Well, God, I'm this great intellect thinker. I have a great presence. And I speak well in front of people, so that's why you're going to use me. No, God uses the foolish things. He uses the people that are the least likely among us. And because he's going to show that it's not in their flesh that they are who they are. It's Jesus in them. It's Jesus in me. I'm nothing special. It's Jesus in me. And the thoughts, the wisdom that I have, it's not the wisdom of this world. The only wisdom that I care about is the wisdom that originates from another world. It's the wisdom that comes from his word that has been that has been unlocked into my reborn human spirit, that the Holy Ghost has brought the understanding, and I'm able to speak that wisdom. Glory to God. I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures regarding the wisdom of God, because maybe you're asking yourself about this wisdom from God, and here are two prayers. There's actually three total, but there's a couple of verses that I want to give you specifically. These are, the first one is a prayer in Ephesians that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. I want to draw your attention to what he said here in the 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 1. And this is where the prayer begins, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give. So he's praying here for the church at Ephesus, that God may give he says, unto you the Spirit. And I've looked these words up because I've tried to understand what he's saying here. And you could just as easily, now you can reject this if you want to. It's not going to hurt my feelings. But you can just as easily say in these words right here that he may give to your spirit. Instead of saying that he may give unto you the Spirit, if you look up the word there where it's, there is no Greek word for the that was added by the translator. So if you take that out, given to you, and that word you could easily, just as easily have been your, given to your spirit wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul is praying this prayer for the church at Ephesus. We can pray this for ourselves. God, and Debbie and I pray this. We pray this prayer. We thank you, God, for giving to our spirit wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we're asking him in faith. It's a positive confession that he give to our spirit man this wisdom and revelation. That revelation is where that word is unlocked and the truths in that word is revealed to our spirit. That he would give to our spirit this wisdom that originates from another world. Wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And I'm telling you, as Debbie and I have prayed this, I have seen gradually over the course of time this prayer producing in our lives. It's amazing. When you pray the Word of God, I'm telling you, you get results. You get results. And let me show you this one other place in Colossians chapter 1. Going to be in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we pray this. God, thank you for, we desire that we be filled with the knowledge of your will, God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We believe, Father, that you're filling us. You're filling us with the knowledge of your will, that we're filled up with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, the understanding that comes out of a reborn human spirit. Glory to God. You pray these prayers. See that, and that goes all the way, that goes on for a few more verses there. You can look those up yourself in Ephesians chapter 1, and there's also another one in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul talks about knowing the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look up those verses. Pray those prayers for yourself, because we want to think with the wisdom that originates outside of this natural world. And you can think these thoughts. You can think this way, so that when you're faced with this, with the multitude of people, and you're looking down at this little boy's lunch, and it's a few small barley loaves and a few little fish, you're not saying, okay, let's go to the bank and draw out a loan because we need to buy some food. You know, you're thinking with thoughts that originate outside of this world. You're beginning to see that there's no limitations. There's no limitations. You're only limited by what you believe. And if you are faced with that situation and you have renewed your mind with the Word of God, thank God you're going to have an answer. This world needs answers. They're looking for answers. And we, as the body of Christ, we have the answers. The answers are based in the wisdom of God. And it may look foolish to a natural world, but we have to be willing to look foolish so that we can bring salvation to the lost. Amen. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for wisdom that originates outside of this natural world. Thank you, God, for your wisdom. And Father, I pray that our spirit men are filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Thank you, God, for giving to our spirit men wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Glory to God. I believe, Father, that we have the capacity to think your thoughts. And I believe, Father, that as we meditate on your word and as our mind is renewed with the word of God, that we are transformed in Jesus' name. And we begin to look as Jesus looked and act the way Jesus acted and think the thoughts that Jesus thought and speak the words that Jesus spoke. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.